Welcome to Faith and Victory Church. Faith and Victory Church is an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. We welcome all who love to worship God and those who wish to deepen their relationship with Him. Pastors Matt and Crystal Krachunas are inviting you to come worship with them and the congregation of Faith and Victory Church this Sunday. To find out more about Faith and Victory Church, check out our website, www.faithandvictory.com. You will find that there is something for everyone at Faith and Victory Church. Now join us for the Spirit-filled message.
Let me start off, say this. I hate preaching on Easter. Some of you might say, man, why do you hate preaching on Easter? Well, I'm fixing to tell you. I'll tell you why I hate preaching on Easter. I'll tell you why I hate preaching on Easter. I hate preaching on Easter because, to me, sorry, worked my voices from this weekend, and then I was screaming at the people in the first service too, so all that together, just, I was getting warmed up. I hate preaching on Easter because of the pressure associated with it. How can I adequately stand before you and preach a sermon that would really live up to the reality of what we're celebrating today? It is impossible to believe that a man such as myself could spend some time and in just a few moments be able to encapsulate everything that happened on that day and the meaning of it and how important it is. And so for me on Easter, when I come to preach, I don't really like it because I feel too much pressure. To me, it's kind of like Valentine's Day. I don't like Valentine's Day either. Because if I can't prove to my wife that I love her every single day, how am I going to do it on Valentine's Day? Amen? I don't like birthdays. How do you prove to someone that you love them? By buying them a gift on their birthday? It's just whatever you give to them, it isn't adequate enough. That's why I don't like Christmas. Because on Christmas, you got to give something to somebody to prove that you love Jesus and you love them and it's all wrapped up. I just don't like that pressure. And I know for some of you, you say it's not that way. Well, for me, it feels that way because the truth is today is the commemoration of the greatest day in the history of the human race. It is the greatest day. I also hate preaching on Easter because I know there's extra people in the room. Easter Sunday is different than every other Sunday of the year because for whatever reason, people show up on Easter. Now listen, you people that are here this morning on Easter, let me tell you this. I'm glad you're here. Amen? Yes. Faith and Victory, we glad they're here this morning?
Yes.
Yeah. God has a place for you here. I'm glad that you're here this morning. You're here on this Easter Sunday. It's funny about coming to church on Easter. It's almost like superstitious a little bit, right? For those people that don't show up all the time, they're like, man, if I got to have any chance of making it, you got to show up on Easter. Like there's just going to be an extra page when you get up there like, no. Wait, hold on. Let me turn to the Easter page. Oh, yes. You are on the Easter page. I don't like preaching on Easter because I don't want to mess up the opportunity today to be able to preach to you my, as we like to call you, the C&E crowd, Christmas and Easter. I don't want to mess up that opportunity. I don't want you to walk away from today and I've given a sermon or said something that wasn't adequate enough for you on this one day that you come to church every single year. I want you to feel welcome today. I want to clearly share the message of Easter. And I also today want to somehow convince you that you should come to church more than one day a year. Amen. I want to convince you of that this morning. I hate preaching on Easter because I'm afraid I'm going to mess it up. I'm a guy that likes to get things right, and trying to explain to someone the story of Easter, if you already know it or if you think you know it, the truth is it's not an easy task. It's not an easy task to explain to you what Easter truly means, and there's this sense that if I get the story wrong or if I leave something out, you're going to walk away today from this with an idea about who God is that just may not be the truth. There's a lot of people that believe in a false Jesus. There's a lot of people that believe in a false gospel. And I don't want people to walk away from here today and wherever you go to eat your Peeps and your Cadbury eggs and start talking about crucified bunnies and eggs flying from the skies or whatever it is. But obviously, people have crazy ideas about Easter, man. They think that Cadbury eggs equals Easter. And I hate to tell you, but the bunnies didn't die for your sins. Amen? Jesus didn't bring you Easter eggs. You know what's really... I don't understand why people celebrate a holiday they don't believe in. Why do people want to celebrate Easter with their family when they don't even believe in the Jesus that the day is for? Why do they even want to do that? I don't know. Let me get off my soapbox. All right. I'm afraid I'm going to mess it up. I don't want to get things right. The most clearest way that I can describe to you is this. It's like having a job interview or a first date, right? Now, have you guys ever been on a job interview before? Now, I don't know anybody that ever walked into a job interview and said, I hope I don't get this job. Most people walk in hoping they're going to get the job. I'll tell you, I remember the first job interview I ever went to. It was an interview at the theater at Northgate Mall. It was a very highly skilled technical job in which they needed someone to tear the tickets. I was 15 years old, and I went in, and I thought a bang up interview. Got done with the interview, and the guy says to me, "Hey, appreciate you coming by today, but you ain't getting the job." I said, "Why am I not getting the job?" And he says, "Cause you're wearing shorts." And I was like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You don't wear shorts to an interview." I was 15 years old. I said, "You don't?" He goes, "No. From this point forward, the rest of your life, don't ever wear shorts to an interview." You know what? I never wore shorts to an interview ever again. And so as I stand here before you delivering this Easter message, I don't want you walking out going, "Man, that guy sure wore shorts today. He sure messed that thing up." I don't want that at all. I want you to walk away today with a firm understanding of who Jesus is and what he did. I preach what I preach because I want as many people as possible to spend eternity with Jesus. That's what gets me out of bed every single day. I want to empty hell and fill heaven. I want more people to go to heaven than go to hell. I want as many people as possible to experience the joy of living for Jesus. I want as many people as possible to be forgiven of their sin so they don't have to live in guilt. And I'm just afraid I'm going to mess it up. I don't like preaching on Easter because the truth is that some of this story is pretty far out there. Do you guys not know the story? So some of the things that we believe to people that don't believe them, we believe some pretty crazy things. Here's some of the things that we believe about Easter. First off, let me say this. If you want to believe in Easter, you have to believe in creation. And when I say creation, I mean you cannot believe in evolution. And some of you people that believe in evolution, you say, "Well, why can't I believe in evolution?" Because it's not in the Bible. That's why you can't believe in evolution. And let me explain to you something. In the story of creation, in the beginning of Genesis, the story says that God took the dirt of the firmament of the earth and he rolled it around and he blew on it. And he gave life to this dirt and turned it into a man named Adam. Yeah. That's what the Bible says. And some people would say to me, "Well, that seems like a really far-fetched story." And I say, "Well, what's more farther-fetched? God himself creating you or you climbing out of the primordial oop and just by accident becoming a human being?" Which one do you seems more far-fetched? And what I believe about that story is that as God created Adam and God looked at Adam and he said, "Adam, it's not good that you would be alone. I'm going to create a helper for you." And so then he took a rib from Adam's side and he created the most beautiful thing ever. He created a woman. Bless God. And all the men said, if you're married, you should have said amen. And then God spoke to Adam and Eve and he said, "You can do whatever you want, but there's this one tree with this one fruit and I don't want you to eat off of this tree." And Eve went and she took the fruit and she ate it and she brought it to Adam and said, "Look what I did. I ate this fruit." And Adam goes, "Okay, well, let's eat it together. That sounds good." Okay. And God held Adam accountable to it. And he said, "You know what, Adam? Because of you now, your decision, what you did, you brought sin into humanity. You brought sin into the whole entire world. Because of one person's decision, the whole entire world changed and sin was brought into the world. Why is it important to believe that? Because if you don't believe in an original sin, there's no need for a Savior. If one man didn't bring sin into this world, one man cannot save us from that sin. This story of believing that God created us is part and parcel of the Easter story. The Bible calls Jesus the second Adam. And if we don't believe in creation, there's no purpose in you believing in Jesus either. There's no original sin. There's no need for a Savior. We also believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. That this woman named Mary was made pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And that Jesus was born sinless. That he didn't have any sin. You know, some people say, well, I don't understand. How is Jesus born sinless? It's because Jesus wasn't the seed of Adam. He doesn't have Adam's seed in him. His seed was the seed of the Holy Spirit, an incorruptible, pure seed of God. But we believe that. We believe that Jesus was born of a virgin and that he lived a sinless life. He never did anything wrong. He was utterly and completely perfect. He never said anything wrong. He never thought anything wrong. He never did anything wrong. Everything he did was perfect. And Jesus did some pretty amazing things. He healed people. He brought people back from the dead. He changed the weather. He made food multiply. He made a coin appear in a fish's mouth. And here's where it gets totally and completely crazy. This 100% God, 100% man, Rabbi Yahshua ben Joseph, Jesus, willfully allowed himself to be nailed to a cross. He willfully allowed himself, stakes in his hands and in his feet, his side pierced with a spear, allowed himself, willfully put himself in a place to be crucified, nailed to a cross. And then as he died and they put him in the tomb, the Bible says that he went and he sprinkled blood at the judgment seat of God. He sprinkled blood at the judgment seat of God to pay the penalty for our sin. You want to talk about something that's far-fetched. Man, it's far-fetched to believe that, isn't it? Unless you believe it. Amen? The Bible says that after Jesus died, that he was brought back to life by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit rolled the rock away from the entrance to the tomb, and that Jesus walked out amongst the people, and for 40 days he walked around, and people were able to see the holes in his hands and his feet, and he was able to perform miracles and talk to people for 40 days. And then the Bible says that he went up to heaven. He didn't die again. He just, whoosh, there he went. It's pretty unbelievable. It's much easier to believe that there was this really handsome bearded man that walked around with little kids and sheep. Who told some really, really good stories. I mean, it's plausible, right? I've met lots of bearded men that walk around with sheep and children. But that's not the whole story. The whole story is that Jesus was crucified on a cross. You know, my mom's coming over for lunch today, and I'll tell her she made the sermon this morning. I like to pick on my mom in this regard. You know, my mom loves the movie Titanic, but you know what she always says to me? She says, you know, I love the movie Titanic, but I love the first half. She says, I love all the dishes and the dancing and everybody being together. It's such a beautiful movie. She goes, I hate that part when the ship starts to sink. I'm like, Mom, that's Titanic. Nobody watches a movie about a bunch of rich people on a boat going across the water. It's just a real boring movie. The story of Titanic is that the ship sunk and people died. Well, I just don't like that part. Okay, well, then you don't like the story of Titanic. And sometimes in our walk with Christ, people get really excited about the loving sheep bread multiplying Jesus, and you want to talk to them about the crucified Savior, and they get all worked up, and they say, why did it have to be so bloody? Because that's the way that God intended it. What we believe is a little bit out there unless you believe it. The truth is, I really don't like preaching on Easter because sometimes I have to tell people things they don't want to hear. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. The truth is, today I am telling you and I'm letting you know that the Bible declares that there is only one way to heaven. The only way to heaven is through believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. That's it. You can't do good deeds. You can't try to make restitution. You can't try to make things right. Every other religion that does not believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven is false.
Amen.
And some people say, how is that possible? Folks, I did not wake up this morning and write this book.
Amen.
I didn't just decide one day that Jesus was the way to heaven. And some people say, well, what about those other people? I don't know, but what I do know is that Jesus Christ himself declared that he is the only way to heaven. And that people that don't have him will be dead in their sins. That's what the word declares. I don't like preaching on Easter because sometimes I have to tell people things they don't want to hear, like you have to admit that you're a sinner. See, in this day and age, people don't like to use words like sin and hell. I just said hell on Easter. Amen.
In church.
Hell, hell, hell. See, one of the most exciting things about admitting that you're a sinner is that you're able to escape the wrath of hell. And a lot of people in this day and age don't like to believe that we're dirty, rotten, nasty, pagan dog sinners in need of a Savior. We don't like to believe that beautiful little babies are born into sin, and we don't like to believe that just being good isn't good enough. We don't like to believe those kind of things. We kind of like to look at ourselves through rose-colored glasses and believe we're a little bit better than we actually are. But what the Word of God declares is that we are sinners in need of a Savior. We, in and of ourselves, cannot save ourselves. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's right. This morning, I'm telling you, you need to tell God that you are a sinner that needs a Savior. Tell him that there are things that you're doing that you know that you shouldn't be doing. You have to believe that God forgives you. And through that, you can experience the freedom of knowing that you won't be held accountable to God for your sin. And some people say, well, that's scandalous, man. How is it that just by believing in the story of Jesus, I can be given eternal life and not have to go and be punished for my sins? That doesn't seem fair. And I say, I don't care if it seems fair. It's the truth. Amen? I don't know about you. I like free stuff. Dude, it's like Costco on supercharged. You know what I'm saying? But instead of free samples of hummus, it's eternal life. Amen? I need to tell you this morning that God wants you to be in relationship with other people who believe. If you are here this morning and you are not part of a church, you need to find one. And maybe even as you sit here, you're looking at me and listening to me and you don't like me. And that's fine. A lot of people don't like me. But go find someone you do like that you want to listen to every Sunday. Amen?
Amen.
I say churches are like restaurants. Just because you went to a bad one, you don't stop going out to eat. You say, man, I'm never going back there. Let's go find one that we like. God wants you to be in a body of believers. There is a refining process that happens when you come together with other people that believe that Jesus Christ saved them. And we all come together and we're broken people that are trying to become whole before God, and he grows us. And it's something that you need to do. And for some people that say, well, I don't understand that. Well, just go to church somewhere and you'll figure it out. This one is great. We'd love to have you here forever. But again, if you don't, just find one. Amen. I also got to tell you that God wants you to stop doing bad things. One of the greatest proof of a resurrected Savior is a changed life. A changed life that is no longer bound to the laws of sin and death. God does not want us to sin. It's not His desire for us. 1 John 3:9 says, no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. Now the good news is that as we are changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are changed by this belief in Jesus. When we go out and not sin, it's not through our own power. It's through the Holy Spirit's power in us, helping us to not sin. In and of myself, if I could have stopped sinning without Jesus, I would have done that before and I wouldn't need a Savior. Amen? God wants you to be self-assured and not self-righteous. God wants you to serve other people. God wants you to love Him more than anything else in this world. God wants you to love Him more than your spouse, more than your kids, more than your friends, more than your stuff, more than your job, more than your family. In the stack ranking of your life, God wants to be the center, the top, your whole everything within your life. God wants you to love Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. I got to tell you, man, I don't like preaching on Easter. But let me tell you why I love preaching on Easter. Amen? I love preaching on Easter because I believe every last part of the Easter story. I believe it. I believe there was an Adam, however thousands of years ago, who sinned, and I believe that Jesus did make things right with God. I believe that Jesus walked this earth, that He was crucified, and that His blood saves me. I believe that I can be forgiven of my sin, and I believe that I can live forever with Jesus in eternity. I believe that you and I, as we believe in Jesus, can and will be used by God to do miraculous things. I believe that Jesus did literally come back from the dead. I believe that. I love preaching on Easter because, do you know what? Your past can be forgiven.
That's right. Amen.
Because of what Jesus accomplished in overcoming the grave, He proved He was God. And now you can be forgiven of your sins, all past, current, and future sins, and you can live forever. I believe that. I believe that the sins that I did from the time I was born, the sins that I take part in that I don't want to now, and the sins that I guarantee you I'm going to do in the future that I don't want to do, Jesus has already forgiven me of those. There's babies that haven't even been born yet. Jesus has already forgiven them of those sins. I can be forgiven from my past sins. I don't have to live under this emotional yoke of bondage. See, part of the problem with sin is that we can't forget it. I'm sorry, nobody here has ever sinned before. Okay. Part of my problem is there's dirty, nasty, rotten, despicable, embarrassing things that I've done in my life. And sometimes I can't get them out of my head. And Satan just comes out and is like, and it makes me feel horrible. But what I believe is through what Jesus Christ did on the cross that I can tell Satan that that's not me. That might have been me. I might have done that, but that's not me anymore. I am now a new creation. Amen? You know what Jesus said in Matthew 11:28? He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Today is the day of salvation. Today you can finally be lifted out of this pit of despair, this sense of I'm held accountable to God for my past, and I need to make some sort of right restitution before Him. And I'm going to try to do more good than bad, and I'm going to try to fix the things that I broke, and I'm going to try to do my best to live this holy, righteous life. Folks, you don't need to do any of that. You just need to put your faith in what Jesus did. Put your faith in the one that actually died for your sins. Put your faith in the one that actually paid the penalty for your sins. Acts 2:36, therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah, Lord over your lives. Messiah meaning Savior from your sins. That's what He has now done to you and for you. Jesus did not come to make sure you could have bunny eggs and chocolate bunnies. It's not why He came. Now listen, you're going to go home today and bless God, I hope you're going to eat some pork. Amen? Did you know that eating pork is the greatest thing that we can do on Easter to prove the fact that Jesus truly did get away with the old law? Bless God. Thank you, Jesus. If somebody gives you a chocolate bunny, just squeeze it in your hands and go, "You didn't die for my sins." Then eat that bunny. Ears first. The greatest thing about what Jesus did, I love it, Hebrews 8:12. He says, "For I will forgive them their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." Part of my problem is that I have a hard time forgetting some of my sins. Amen. The good news is that He forgets them. Amen? The good news is that even though I may be reminded of them because of things that happened in my life, He forgets about them. Amen? I love preaching on Easter because Jesus did what He promised He would do. He said He would come back to life, and bless God, He did. John 2:19, and Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." He was talking about His own body. He also said that if we believed in Him, He would come back for us and we would be raised from the dead because of our belief in Him. Amen. I am guaranteed a place in heaven because of what Jesus did. Amen. Guaranteed. Right now, as sure as we are sitting there, Jesus is in heaven and He has prepared a place and a mansion for Matt. Amen. Over the door, it says, "Matt's place." And I don't know what's in there. But if it's for me, He probably knows what I'd like. Amen. I know, some donuts. Hot tub. It's a really big room where it's got a jet ski. Amen. My own little personal heaven. I believe that. I believe that this life in which I live is utterly and completely temporary. I'm merely just passing through. Amen. If Jesus hadn't come back from the dead, He would have just been another story. Amen? That's all He would have been. He would have just been another story. Matthew 28:18, He says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, 'All power is given unto Me and in heaven and in earth.'" The truth is that because Jesus was able to heal the sick, raise the dead, and perform miracles, He has the true power to do everything and anything that we could ever ask or imagine. Amen? And that includes in our lives. I love preaching on Easter because your present problems can be managed. Mine too. Say amen if you got some problems. That's good. I'm really glad you guys are here this morning. Now, I've only been living on God's green earth for 38 glorious years. But I've figured out something since I've been here. I enjoy being alive. I love every day being able to go, every day that I'm on this side of the dirt is a good day. Amen? And if you were going to stack rank problems that you could have in your life, starting with worst problems to not that bad of problems, I would probably place death at the top of that list. Right? I mean, most problems, after you've gone through them, you're like, "Oh, that wasn't that bad." But the interesting thing about death is it's a problem that you can't seem to really quickly overcome. If you're dead, you're dead. That's just kind of how that thing works. But here's the good news through Jesus Christ. Is because of what Jesus did on the cross, all I can do is to live this life with a firm understanding and knowledge that for me, death is not the end. Death is a beginning. See, what the world believes is that when you die, you're dead. And what I believe is when I die, I live. Amen? Amen. Paul said to live is Christ and to die is gain. I don't know what the other side of eternity looks like, but I'm hoping that it's going to be a whole lot better than this little bit of life that I'm living here. Amen? Because of that, my present problems can be managed. The things that I'm going through today, the things that I'm having to deal with, any problem or issue that we may have or may come up with, God is able to help us through it and deliver us from it. Amen? You know what Jesus said? Jesus said in John 10:14, He said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have a shepherd who's willing to lay down his life for me. I have a shepherd who knows me. I have a shepherd that's guiding me. And so as I'm going through these trials and tribulations in my life, I know that Father God walks with me through these things. Amen? The truth of the matter is that Jesus is able to help us in this day. He is. What Jesus did on the cross was powerful and it was miraculous. And the truth is if Jesus never did anything more than what He did for me on the cross, He would never have to do anything else for me. What He did for me on the cross was more than enough. I don't need anything else. I don't require anything else. My life isn't dependent on anything else. Everything was accomplished on the cross. But the truth is because of what He did on the cross, He helps us in our relationships. If you believe in the truth that God sent Jesus to die for us sinners and we receive that truth, it transforms your relationships. How does it transform our relationships? Because you love people a whole lot more when you know you ain't going to hell. Whether it's your spouse or it's your friends or it's some funky looking person in a checkout line, you can just look them in the eyes and just smile and say, I love you. How can you love me? Man, I ain't going to hell. When you realize that you're not going to hell, you truly believe that, it will change the way in which you love other people. Because people that are going to hell are scared. And so scared people act irrationally. People that aren't scared, they're more laid back. Hey, it's cool. I'm not going to hell. It will transform every single one of your relationships. Every time you get upset with your spouse, remind yourself, oh yeah, not going to hell. I'm so sorry. Amen. Kids, I'm sorry. I love you. I'm not going to hell. This is the biggest reason why it helps us, helps our relationships, okay? No longer, hear me, church, no longer do we have to look to other people to fix us, to solve our problems, or to validate that we have value. Because Jesus died on the cross for me, it proves that I have value. I'm a special person because Jesus died for me. If somebody's willing to die for someone, I would say that the person that they died for has some inherent value. And so now our relationships don't carry the same measure of weight that they used to. I don't need Crystal to validate the fact that I have value. I know I have value because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. She doesn't need me to validate her because she knows that her true value, her true worth is not caught up in what I think. It's caught up in what God thinks. What God thinks is that she was good enough to die for. Amen? And so now we can truly love people. We can truly care for people. We can truly receive from people without this weight of heaviness, of expecting other people to fill this emptiness inside of us because we've been filled and made whole through the power of what Jesus did on the cross. Amen? Jesus helps us in our daily lives. The promise from the resurrection is that He is with us always. Whatever the issue or the circumstance that I may be going through, Jesus is right there with me. Notice, I didn't say it doesn't mean you won't go through things. Amen? You're going to go through things. Amen? It's part of the refining process of being on this earth. God is working something out in us. He's refining things in us that as we go through circumstance, He refines our character, He refines our heart. But He does declare His promise is. The last words that Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 28, verse 20, he says, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." As you are walking through those horrible times in your life, those difficulties that you have in yourself, in your relationships, in your work, as you're walking through your health problems and all these other spiritual issues, understand and know that because Jesus rose from the dead, He is walking with you. You may have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but He will be there with you. Because of what Jesus did, I'm able to change the way in which I view the world. One of the greatest gifts that God gives us is that He gives us a mind to actually see what is going on in this world. And the closer you get to Jesus, the easier it is to see that this world is utterly and completely broken and on a path to destruction. But the good news is that I am just merely visiting. Amen? It's like getting a ride from someone with a broken car. I'm just along for the ride, man. Sooner or later, we're going to stop and I'm going to get out. This world, this life, would you just understand this is not your home? One day you're going to die and you're going to go to a better place. And so God can change your mind in the way in which you see stuff. Like, people get so worked up about all this political this and North Korea that and everything else. And I'm just like, come, Lord Jesus. People seem to forget, like, I know we're only in the first part of the New Testament today, but the end of the New Testament, read Revelation, man. It gets worse before it gets better. It's going to get really bad. And so I'm not worried about it because when I see the world doing what the world does, I know that I am just a visitor on this planet. As much as God loves me and wants good things for me, Satan and his adversaries are working hard to try to discourage me in my attempts to live for God. So what does the Bible say in Romans 12:2? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Satan does not want you to be redeemed. He does not want you to be free. He's trying to kill you. Jesus is able to help you in your health. Because Jesus overcame death, you can overcome whatever health issue you may be going through right now. And so we say, well, I haven't been healed. Well, here's the good news, man. You may get healed or you may die, but it doesn't change the fact of who God is. Bless God if He delivers you and you get healed on this side of heaven. Bless God. It'll give Him all the glory and the honor and the praise on this side of heaven. You die, you're just on the other side. Give Him all the praise, glory, and honor. And so as we go through those health issues in our lives, we don't have to go through like the world goes through them, like, oh, my, whatever's, oh, working up. Everybody got health issues, man. You got a sore this, a broken that, and a thing about to die this. That's just how it is, man. These bodies are imperfect. They're not meant to be perfect. Finally, Jesus can help me in my attitude. Hope you're amen in yourself there, sister. The truth is because I'm a broken man, sometimes my attitude is not the best. I know you guys walk in victory every single day. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can go through things, lose things, gain things, experience things, love people deep down, experience hurt and pain. But because I know of what Jesus did for me, I know where my true joy comes from. I know where my true joy comes from. I mean, I still get hurt by people sometimes, but it just doesn't hurt as much because I know what Jesus did for me. You know, the story of Easter is the story of Adam. Adam sinned and ever since then, we've just been enemies of God. And God made provision, and He said, you know what? I don't want you to be better. I don't want you to work harder.
I don't want you to make restitution. I don't want you to try to fix things. Here's what I'm going to do for you. This is God talking. So I'm going to send my son for you. And he's going to die for you, for your sins. And would you please just believe that he paid the penalty for your sins? Would you just believe that? You know, on August 10th, 1990, I was 15 years old. And a guy stood in front of a group of kids. He said, listen, you got two paths in this life, man. You either spend your life crucifying Jesus, or you spend your life living for Jesus. There's really only the two options. You either live for Jesus, or you live your life crucifying him. And he said, make a decision. Either live for Jesus or don't. I was sitting in the back, and I thought to myself, well, the heck? I want to live for Jesus, man. That sounds a whole lot nicer than crucifying him my whole entire life. This is what I want you to do. Would you close your eyes? Would you bow your heads? Today could be the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe you've never made a decision for Jesus before. And making a decision for Jesus is really simple. It's just admitting the fact that you can't make it on your own. You can't stop doing bad things on your own. You need his help. So the Bible says to turn away from those bad things and turn towards God in faith. Admit that you need a Savior. Believe that he truly saved you from your sins. And if that's you this morning, I'm not going to make a spectacle out of you. I just want to believe with you and pray with you. Would you just raise your hand and say, that's me, man. I want to give my life to Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Just raise your hand to God and say, that's me. Maybe as you're sitting here on this Easter Sunday, 2013, you think, gosh, how many times is Pastor Matt going to tell me to give my life to Jesus? Well, until you guys all start living like it, amen? Myself included. It's easy to fall off the path. It's easy to kind of lose our way. Maybe this morning you just need to do a little heart time with God. Say, you know what, God? Man, I'm sorry. I turned away from you. I'm turning back to you today, God. Today's the day. I'm no longer going to live the way I've been living. I'm no longer be doing the things I've been doing. Jesus has already forgiven you from it. You just got to walk in the forgiveness. You just got to turn to him. Father God, we praise you this morning. We glorify you and we lift you up in the powerful name of Jesus. And God, we thank you for the gift that you gave us on the cross through Jesus. And God, we receive it by faith today, that forgiveness. We receive it by faith today, that eternal life. And God, we praise you and thank you that one day we will die and live forever with you. And God, I pray today for ourselves, for this church, for these people, God, that we would experience that victorious life that you have for us on this side of heaven. And God, whatever we may go through, we're not going to go astray. We're not going to go serve anybody else because we know that you have our best interests in mind. Father, we praise you and we glorify and we lift you up. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen.